משם משם חיטה, אוקיי. So we left off yesterday with Tosfos observation that even though we have this absolute Chayv Lo Yavo rule called Odomo Liolam, there are so many exceptions to that rule that we're not even sure it's a rule anymore. And we put together how many exceptions? Who remembers? Six exceptions. I was so excited we're going to come to the shiurim today and it's all going to be on the blackboard. There's nothing here. I think I erased it yesterday if I'm not mistaken. So there were six different sugyas that seem to point in the direction that this rule is not as absolute as we thought. So we're going to have all the berichos. But Bekitza, one was the Rishalmi, and one was the Gemara about Balach Chavetz and the Balach Koira, and what was the beginning of the third parak about the person standing at the corner. Yesterday I was standing, Mamash, I was standing in the hospital yesterday in the hallway, and I was standing Mamash by a corner, and somebody came around and almost bowed me over. I was Mamash, I was so excited. I was thinking, this is the beginning of the third parak of Avakama. So we stand at the corner, so the person who knocked it, person was not as happy. It was a nurse pushing a cart. She wasn't as happy as I was. But okay, anyway. So we have three Gemaras over there, and then you have Gemaras later on about Tavach Umashay Kilka, the Tzadi Test. Then you have Gemaras about Metziah Pei Beis, the Mavis HaChovitz. Then you got the Yisomim who didn't realize that it was somebody else's cow. Call me a six different Gemaras that all point in the same direction, that there's some exception to the rule. So in one fell swoop, Tosfos said there's one answer that solves the entire problem, and that is, Oinus is different. The Mishnah says Ones, the Mishnah doesn't really mean Ones, the Mishnah means it's not an absolute 100% mazed, it's a little bit watered down, but if you reach the point of Ones Gomor, how could you possibly mechayev a guy for Mazik but Ones Gomor? That was Tosfos' theory on Daf Chav Zayin, and I present this in a few different places. And the Ramban in Bava Metziah Pei Beis was about Plukif Tosfos, and we said at the end of the show yesterday that the Ramban explained half of the sugyas, but doesn't explain the other half of the sugyas. All the sugyas that involve a pshias ha-nizuk, so that the Rambam was able to easily deflect and say, pshias ha-nizuk, it's the other guy. Who told him to put the barrel there? Who told him to stop without signaling? Who told him that? As long as we can point the finger of blame at the nizuk, that's the pote there. That's the Rambam's understanding. So we left hanging at the end of the show yesterday, but there are a few cases where there is no pshias ha-nizuk. When I give something to the Shaykhay, when I ask a guy to carry a bow for me, the case of the Yisomim who shecht the cow, not really, it's not their father's cow. So there is no blatant pshias ha-nizuk in any of these cases. The person is part of so much pshat. So comes the Shit Mekubetzes and quotes different nuances from different Rishonim, all going back to one basic Yisoid. And the Yisoid comes from a Riva. Now, if you look, I think I put on the Maramakomus a few different pieces from the sheet on this. Yeah. So some Rishonim quote Riva in one way, and other Rishonim quote Riva in a slightly different way. There may be nuances of differences lahalacha between them, but we'll just present the Tam Sadvarim just to begin with. Oh, Maramakomus, okay. So basically what the Riva said was to explain away at least two out of the three remaining problems, namely the Tavachum and Shekilkel, and the Mavis Achovis, which are really the same. I mean, the same idea that I'm hiring a guy to do a job, and if he messes up, he's not chayv al mazik. The worst we can make him chayv is al shomer. Now, if he's a shomer, well, then it depends. If he's getting paid, then he's a shomer socha, then he will be chayv. If he's doing it for free, then he's a shomer chinim, and tak will not be chayv. So comes the Riva and says the following, he said. A person whose job it is to shecht, or a person whose job it is to carry a barrel, you cannot turn around and call him a mazik on that chayfetz. And I'll tell you why. Because in the hands where it starts to get a little bit shaky, says the Riva, if he's supposed to be doing what he's doing, that's not a mazik. A mazik means a guy, he's not supposed to be here. He has negative intentions. Even if he's a nice guy and he doesn't mean to do it, he backed into the other guy's car by mistake, but he's not supposed to be backing into a guy's car, whether it was intentional or unintentional. He's not supposed to be shooting arrows. He's not supposed to be throwing baseballs into people's windows. Now again, whether he meant to do it or didn't mean to do it, but that type of activity is unjustified activity. Says the Riva, a person who is being hired or being asked to shecht your animal is not involved in any negative activity. If anything, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Now, truth to be told, he was hired to shecht the animal, and I'm kind of expecting that he's going to do a good job. But even though reality kicks in and he messed up and he goofed and now it cost me a $10,000 loss, but since Bishas Mai said he was involved, he had every right and every justification to be involved in what he was doing. That's not called another mazik. Nothing to do with the Aina. Nothing to do with shame. You know what I mean? That's not a shame of a gav of another mazik. Oh, wait. We'll see in a second. So we're just trying to figure out why he's not a mazik yet. We didn't figure out why he is or not a shomer. We're trying to figure out why he's not a mazik. So the Rivat develops this idea that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Now, even within that world of doing what he's supposed to be doing, the Rivat, as quoted by some Rishonim, says one nuance, and the Rivat quoted by other Rishonim says a little bit of a different nuance. Some Rishonim quote the Rivat saying, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, highlighting the fact that I asked him to do it. The owner asked him to get involved. The owner hired him or requested of him, paid, not paid. Since I'm asking him to do it, that's not a shemazik b'chlal. Other versions of the Rivat is, since he's doing it l'tova sabaylim, that by definition is not called a mazik. What's the difference? Big difference. Let's say I didn't ask him to carry this barrel. Out of the goodness of his own heart, he sees there's a barrel here, and he realizes that it would be a nice thing to carry that barrel. He goes in and carries the barrel, and now he breaks the barrel. So according to the first version of the Rivat, the mafkia of the shemazik emanates from the fact that he was instructed to do this, so that if he wasn't lemaisa instructed, even though he's a nice guy, he's not a bad guy, but if he doesn't have that green light from the Bailam to do it, so that's not sufficient. The fact that he's mechaven l'toiva, that in of itself doesn't do the trick. Masha'inke, according to the second understanding, according to the second version, that what's ultimately maskia, the Shei Mazik, is not so much that he was asked to do it, but the fact that he has a good intention, that he's mechavim l'toiva, even if he wasn't instructed to do so, that's also after maskia the Shei Mazik. That's a nuance of difference. In our cases, both in the case of Tavachum and Shekilkil, as well as in the case of Mavis, it doesn't really make much of a difference, because in both of those cases, he actually was instructed to do so. So for our purposes, it doesn't make it'll happen enough, for the case of a guy who decides to carry barrels without being appointed to do so. But for our purposes, it doesn't make much of a difference. So now, everyone's going to ask me, so M. Cain, what does it matter whether he's getting paid? So I'll tell you exactly why it matters. To be Mechayev Malta Shei Mazik, that's not, because Mechavim L'Toyva, he has to do so, whatever the reason is. But, Afa B'chein, it's a little Pasha Shomrim. Forget Uchaz Maz, forget Bava Kama. I can't even say that with it as a joke. Forget Bava Kama. Think of Bava Metzia. If I'm paying the guy as a watchman, so then he becomes Chayiv, not outside of a Mazik, then he becomes Chayiv al Shem HaSochar. So if he's a Shem HaSochar, we're going to nab him for a Chayiv HaShomrim, but not for Chayiv HaMazik. Chayiv HaMazik we've already taken care of because of the reverse deflection with Asa Ramban called Mechavin L'Toyva, or asked to do so, etc. So the sugyas of Bava Kama and Bava Metzia about the Mavis Achavis and the Tavachum and Shekilkil are correct in only applying the principles of Shomer here. Mazik is out the window. Mazik is irrelevant because of that svar of Mechavin L'Toyva, asked to do so, etc. There's only one Gemara that's still hanging in there. The great taste, the last sugya. Five out of the six sugyas have gone by the wayside. There's one last sugya that's still hanging in there. And that was which one? The what? The case of the sheep. The case of the sheep. How could we deflect the case of the sheep? So the Ramban. Case of the Yerushim, yeah. So the Ramban in the 10th of the Marmakovitz in Ksubas Lamadala attempts to answer that one also. Oh, case of the sheep, yeah. Sorry, case of the sheep. Dr. Berman, we should remember this from years gone by. So let's say Reuven borrows a cow from somebody. All right, the sheep or cows doesn't make a difference. Reuven borrows a cow from somebody, and Reuven dies, and the Yerushim go to the barn and they see a cow there. It's not in their wildest dreams that the cow belongs to anybody else except for the father, and they go ahead and they shech the cow. So remember some tzubas, right? Oh, so it comes to the Gemara and says that the Yerushim do not have to pay for the entire value of the cow, which is tantamount saying they're not mazikin. They have to pay the much lower version to make boss the bezold. They got to pay like how much it would cost to get a cheap hamburger that night. The lowest amount of what it would cost to eat supper for that amount of times. That's, I remember I had a friend of mine, Rabbi Weil, who used to own, his father used to be a farmer. So So he told me that they were a family of five people, lived in upstate New York. He said, the sheikh would come to the house every 2 months or so to shech one cow. That was dinner for 2 months. So, I mean, minus half the cow usually goes to the goy, but you could feed a family of five for 2 months from one cow. So that's what it was. You have to pay. You have to pay the most of his own. Now, the answer is the cow is probably worth an awful lot more than that. But you pay the bare bone minimum of what it costs to feed a family of five for X amount of time. So Tosha said, you see, from here, the reason why the Yershim potter out Mazik, so Tosha said, because it's on his garment, they had no way, that's not their father's cow. So how would the Ramban respond to that? So in this case, there's no pshias hanizak. In this case, there's no nochis really in the sense of they weren't asked to do this. It's not l'chavim with tovas of the Bailim. So what's the poter? So according to the Ramban, there's no poter of other Ramazi B'ayinim. So what is the poter? So the Ramban addresses this in Ksubis. We spoke about this in Ksubis a couple of years ago. We take a look at the 10th of the Ramban Kamos. Frek the Ramban, Sukasha Leizal, Amaydim Ebosim Azol V'sulay. So we'll skip his kasha. He strengthens the kasha a little bit. Rav Chizkiah, we'll leave that out. The end of the first line, the 10th of the Ramban Kamos, V'nicha Leizal, Hosam Gon Shibach Eva Gozul V'yachl, Aval Hai, the Bishus Kanochis, the Chesvurim the Shalaviyam Hi. What does that mean? What do those words mean? He's nochis b'shus. So Ramban is introducing to us either a new svara or almost like a corollary of the previous svara of the Riba. A guy walks into his own barn. He's the owner of the barn now, the Yershim. His father died, so he owns the barn. And he looks around and he sees, we got some sheep in there, we got some cows in there, we got some monkeys down, whatever else, hanging out in the barn. It's not Eila Aladas that anything in that barn is not his. Like Meheicha Teisi, it's not his. Father died, on the property, this is the estate, and he's the Bailam now. When he goes ahead and he shechts that animal, you can't call him a mazik. Why? A mazik means when I'm doing something out of bounds, I'm doing something out of line, I'm doing something that wouldn't be justified in what I'm doing. Now again, whether I'm doing it for mazid, I'm doing it for shogeg. So if I intentionally throw a baseball and smash the window of your car, so that's a mazik mamash b'kavana. If I was tossed at a baseball to somebody else and the baseball goes into your car, I have no shaykhah to that car. I don't have for sure. If I were to ask a shayla to the rabbi, can I throw a baseball at that car? What would the answer be? No, it's not your car. If I would call up the rabbi and say, Rabbi, I just found an animal in my father's barn. The father just died. Can I shech that animal? Why not? It's your animal. I mean, the halacha dictates, kol mashatachas yadov shalom shaloi. I mean, it's a little bit of a stretch of that phrase. But the person is mamashit and eisibishus. You can't call him mazik if you're eisibishus. You can call a fellow a mazik be'oines. He was mazik something that he didn't have, he didn't plan on being mazik. That's chayiv, says the Ramban. The fact that you were mazik and you weren't intending to be mazik, that's still a mazik. But a sheichet shaloi b'shus, by definition, is not called a mazik. Again, is that the same as the Rivah said? It's similar to what the Rivah said, not identical. In the case of the Rivah, the person is a yored b'shus because he's hired by the person to do it, or is mechavim l'toivah sabaylim. So that creates the rishus relationship. Here, the rishus relationship is created by the fact that he thinks it's mamish his, and justifiably, rightfully so. So the common denominator of the last three cases, according to the Ramban, is that this idea is he's mufka from being a shem mazik because he has a right, quote unquote, to be dealing with this chayfetz. What gave him a right is either explicit rishus from the Bailim. What gave him the right is, according to the other version of the Rivah, is the tervis Bailim. What gives him the right in this third case is because he justifiably thinks it's his. In all three of these cases, he has a certain relationship to this item that justifies him in doing what he's doing, and therefore, b'chia gavni can't be called a mazik. But to say that there's a p'tor of oines, there's no such p'tor. So basically, the Ramban and Tosfos are splitting up in terms of how to address the six cases. So according to Tosfos Shita, all six cases, one through six, are all one yesod, and the one yesod is oines. According to the Ramban, one to three, if you remember from yesterday, one to three, what's the p'tor is what? 1 to 3 is Pshias HaNizuk, and 4 to 6 are based on what? On some kind of a Rishus, quasi-Rishus, dimension that's Rav Kiyah Dishay Mazik. But at the end of the day, everyone's got to answer for the six cases. So Ad Kan, in terms of the basic Machlokes Tosfos and Ramban. Yeah.
Isn't quite all the reason that if you started off
No, 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 no. The Torah says, I don't have rishus vis-a-vis the other guy's thing. That's not the same thing. We're talking about the parasha of Adam Hamazik. No, if I would, that's true. But if I would ask a shaila, am I allowed to light a fire in my backyard, knowing full well that it may go out of the backyard and burn down somebody else's property? The answer is no. If I light a fire in my backyard and I say I built a metal wall and I had a million years didn't think the wall was going to fall down, then it fell down. So then you have to discuss: is that an oynis gomer? Maybe it's an oynis gomer. Maybe itachen achayv an eshu an oynis gomer. There's always the shmir pchusa. There's the sugya at the end of the sixth
day. So, according to the definition of other mazik, isn't someone who did something wrong?
He didn't. It's very dachistic. That means he had justification to believe what he's doing is his property. He had justification to believe he had a right to do what he's doing.
We don't care about objectively the fact
that. Right. The fact is, even though Klapish Magaya, he shechted somebody else's animal, but the halacha would have permitted him to do what he's doing. Right.
Why would we say that someone is onus
gomer? Taka had no right to touch the other guy's car. It wasn't his fault to touch the other guy's car, but he had no rishus to touch the other guy's car. So it's still not the same thing. Yeah.
According to the first version of the Rigva, right, it was that he did what he was supposed to do. He's not doing what he was supposed to do. He totally shechted a part of
You're right. But the maisa that he's doing, he was just about doing. At the end of the day, he goofed in that maisa. You're right. That's a chiddush. Right, that's a chiddush goal. Right. One could argue in the Rivon and say, wait a second, you were justified in what you're doing, Kol Zman is doing the right thing. Once you do the wrong thing, you're not the worker anymore. Right.
It's the same thing as not...
I think that's why Tosfos didn't think that was a good deflection. Right. I think that's goof of the Kudus of Chagis Tosfos in the Ramban. You're right.
We're not talking about it from the sense of Shomer, we're just talking about from the sense of...
No, I think that's why Tosfos wouldn't go down that route. I think that's why other Rishonim didn't buy into this Rivon. I think for that very Nikud, you're right. You must be from the descendants of Tosfos. Okay, everybody say, let's go back to Tosfos. We spent a lot of time now deflecting Tosfos, right? Let's go back to Tosfos and fine tune Tosfos for a minute. So Tosfos told us that Einis Gomor is Mamish Potter, and we said, Velanalas Asa Dover, and you're Potter, Lagamber, no Shiloh, no Anna, you're Potter. Oh, wait a second. Hold the phone. What degree of onus is necessary in order to pater you according to Tosfos? Forget the Rambans, forget the Rivas, forget everything with the Ramban. Oynes, there are different degrees of oynes. So there's oynes gomor, crazy, wild, unbelievable, that's for sure going to be potter, right? There's nothing to discuss. I mean, according to Tosfos, that's for sure potter. But wait a second. There are other dargas of oynes. They're not so simple. They're not such ayayay oynes gomor. And somehow, according to Tosfos' theory, we find that the person is also potter. Give me an example of a darg of ones. It's not such a big ones, not such an ones gomor, and still you're not chayav al tzadav mazik. Give me an example. Out of those six cases, prove to me some of them are not as ones gomor as we thought they were. The Mavris Achavis, and what's the cousin of Mavris Achavis? The brother, the identical twin almost. The Tavach Uman Shekilkel. Prove to me that those cases are not as onus gomer as we thought they were. Let me prove Raya Brua. Oh, if it was really such an oynes, such an unbelievable gewaltige oynes, if it was an oynes to Mahadim and Mahadrin, then you would have been potter even though you're getting paid. Why? Because at the end of the day, and what? A Shem Yisrocher is what an oynes? Give me three cases that a Shem Yisrocher is potter. Give me three cases of oynesin that a Shem Yisrocher is potter on. Umeheis, onishba, ein roer, right? Misa, shvura, v'shvuya, getting taken captive. Those are oinsin. Those are degrees of oinsin that Hashem is sochus potter on. So it's not a true statement that just because you got paid your chayv and everything, you are potter on a certain degree of oinsin as well. So if we're turning around and we're saying that, that this Tavach Uman Shekilkel, who got paid his chayav, and the Mavis Achavis, who gets paid his chayav, what we're in effect saying is that these are cases that don't even make the mark of Oinsin Fisham Yisachar, and yet in Hilchas Adam HaMazik, he's not chayav. Because he's only chayav, he gets paid. If he doesn't get paid, he's not chayav. So the standards of Ones, according to Tosfos, to Patiu, have just dropped remarkably. the barometer of what measures to be called an Ones, you don't even need such an unbelievable Ones, and you're still not called an of a Mazik. Even if you're an Ones of, even if you're an Ones Koldo almost, you're an Ones that would have still been Chayav Al Shabbosachar, even the Chiyagamni, you're still going to be part of outside of a Mazik. So that's quite a Chiddush now. So we don't even need an Ones Gomor. Even a kind of an Ones, Shechayav Alav Shabbosachar, even such a type of an Ones is an Ones Hapoter Midin Mazik. That's what Tosha's going to finish saying. Right? It's Pasha, no? Who's masking so far? Even watered down Einstein, very, very watered down Einstein, are good enough. What's the problem, I say? Who knows the problem? Who sees the problem coming? What does the Gemara say on Daf Chavav? Chav Zayin, where's that Gemara? Where are we? So many Gemaras here. Where's the Gemara about Ruach Matsuya? Did he even put it on? It got lost here in the middle of all these Tosfos. I think they got lost in the shuffle here. Oh, Tosfos quoted it somewhere, so everyone I'm sure had it. Okay, good. Okay, cool. Comes the Gemara and says, we'll look at it inside. Comes the Gemara of Zayim and Alvin and says, Yama Rabba, Nafal Mereisha Gad, Ruach She'eina Mitzuya. The guy fell off the roof in a Ruach She'eina Mitzuya. He fell off the roof in a Ruach She'eina Mitzuya and he damages somebody. He's chayv. It's crazy. Who would have ever thought that would happen? The Ruach She'eina Mitzuya is going to come. What does Rabbi say? He's chayv. Why is he chayv? What are we calling a Ruach She'eina Mitzuya? We're not calling it a sufficient what? A sufficient degree of onus to pat you from other mamazik. Who brought a raya from that Gemara against Tosis? Who remembers? Ramban. That was Ramban's raya, right? The Ramban says, you're chayav, it must be even the craziest wind in the world, Ruach Shel Eliyahu, you're still chayav. And Tosis would probably say that's not true. But Tosis says, if it's a Ruach Shel Mitzuya, so you're chayav. That doesn't meet the mark of being an onus. Why doesn't it meet the mark of being an onus? So Tosis shows you a whole complicated raya that degree of onus of Ruach Shel Mitzuya is something that who would be held responsible for? At the end of the day, who would be held responsible for Ruach She'eina Mitzuya? Iduch HaShomrim, HaShem Yisachar. Tosfos put together 15 Gemaras to prove that point. There's no Gemara that says, but Farish Tosfos combined a few sugyas together to prove that to you. So comes Tosfos and says, wait a second, an Einesh Shechayev Aleh HaShem Yisachar. So on the one hand, we're getting the impression that Adam HaMazik is Potur. That's from Tavach Ubin Shekilkel, from Avos Achavos, is indicating that even the lower level onus is Potur. But wait a second, Onus Chayav Lo Shem Esach, like a Ruach She'eina Mitzuya, here we're getting the impression it's Chayav. So Tavach is teaching us Potur, but Ruach She'eina Mitzuya is teaching us Chayav. So now Tosfos throws their hands up. Now they're in a pickle. Because we haven't been able to fine-tune, how do you define degree of onus that's Potur? So Kolzman, we thought that the degree of onus was onus gomer, that's the poter. That was good. So we said onus gomer is pot, there's nothing else does. But once we realized from Tabakum Shekilkum Avos Achavos that you don't need such a high degree of onus and you're still poter. So Tabakum says, well, wait a second. If you're poter in the case of Tabakum Shekilkum, in the case of Avos Achavos, then you're chayav al shemesach, but if you're poter al tzmazik, so what is the difference between that tour and this chiyah baruch shed mitzuya? So now we have to mamash fine tune. There has to be some other line of demarcation with an onus. Now the problem is we don't know that other line. The only models we have, the only categories we have of onus, we have onus gamur, we have onset of Shabbos Sachar, but we don't know where to draw the line somewhere in between. So what is the line of degree? What is it? What is that line of demarcation? What kind of onsen is the mazik, the other mazik past the point, and now he's chayav? At what point is he on the other side of the equation is going to be potter? Where in lies that line? What halachic precedent do we have in that line? So Tosfos dug up a Gemara in the 8th Perek of Metzia to create a new line. And Tosfos says as follows. Tosfos says, everybody knows that a Shomer Sachar is potter ba'onsin, right? The pturim of nishba mei, so nishba, those are for sure potter for. What? From the beginning of the eighth parak ba'metziah. So everybody knows. Nishba, right? These are all examples of wild, crazy things. Nishba, mei, nishba. These are psukim beferish. Shemesachar is potter. And another b'mazik would be potter in these types of things as well. These percentages, again, another b'mazik is not going to kill the animal, not going to break the animal, but I'm saying the percentage of degree of pshia, if you had to put a measurement on and say the guy was pshia 32%, so if you had a parallel case, another b'mazik would be potter. These are for sure. Then you have cases where shemesachar is chayav. What are degrees of responsibility for shemesachar? What does the Torah speak about? What case of shemesachar? Geneva, im ganovi ganev mi moishalim the balav. What's another case that a shomer is potter? Is shomer is chayav on aveda? The animal's lost. Now, the Torah doesn't say aveda. How do you know that a shomer is chayav in aveda? How do you know? It's part of the eighth parak. It's one of kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? What's the kavachomer? Madach geneva, which is a little bit less of a pshia. I think this pretty big pshia. Okay, it's not enough to be b'chayv shem achinam, but it's more of a pshia in the hierarchy of pshia. So if we draw a carrot here with Weinbach, we would have aveda being a greater pshia than geneva. So the Gemara says about b'tzia, madach shem esach es chayv geneva kavachomer is chayv aveda. Now, in the realm of Hilchos Shomrim, it doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether it's Geneva or Aveda. Shemachinim is potter in both, Shemachach is chayv in both. But, sisters, in the world of Lombus, they're not the same. Geneva is not as bad as Aveda. And again, it doesn't make a difference. Shemachinim, potter on both. Shemachach, chayv on both. So it really doesn't make much of a difference. Okay? But, says Tosis, it does make a difference in the following sense. If you had to put a measuring rod on what degree of negligence was there that a geneva took place, and what degree of negligence was there that an aveda took place, you would have a number. Again, the number wouldn't mean anything in Hilchos Shomrim, but you have a number. So we're going to give it a crazy number. What degree of pshia are we talking about? If a geneva took place, we're going to call it a 7%, okay? If an aveda took place, we're going to call it a 10%. Again, Hilchos Shomrim doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. Says Tosfos, and Hilchos Mazik, that's the line of demarcation. It's whatever falls in between 7 and 10, that's the line, that's the moment of truth, that's the mark that matters in Hilchos Mazik. Namely, kol zman that you're in the geneva realm, you're only pashay at the degree of geneva. That's not called an onomamazik, according to Tosis. Once you've crossed that line and you've reached 10%, again, I just made, obviously, the arbitrary, totally made-up numbers. Once you've reached a level of pshia, kayetze boy of an aveda, that's a high degree of pshia, and that will be chayv al onomamazik. So therefore, Tosis says, listen to this one. Tabach umen shechilkel, mavris achovis, where do they end up? What kind of degree of pshia are those? What dag of pshia are those? Give me a number. These are not called other mamazik. The tabach is not another mamazik. And the mavis chovis is not chayvat other mamazik. What dag of pshia is this? Give me a number, Bosei. It's a 7. It's up to 7, right? It's ke'ein geneva. Therefore, als other mamazik, you can't make him chayev. But if he gets paid, what changes? If he gets paid, he comes transformed to become a what? And what is the shomesach chayev on? On Geneva, i.e. 7% Pshia. Geneva is just an example. Geneva is an example of a 7% Pshia. The case of Ruch Metzuya, what is that? That's also a Shemesachetik category, but Ruch Shein Metzuya. Ruch Shein Metzuya, give me a number, says Tosis. Give me a number for that one. Ruch Shein Metzuya is a what? That's a 10. 10 and above. You've reached the point of 10% already. Oy, oy, oy. Now you're in a whole other world. Once you've reached a point of 10%, so now we're going to turn around and smack you with a chiyuv of what? And you're not a mamazik. Because you've reached a point of barometer. So does everyone understand what Tosfos had to do? Taitis is turning somersaults to save their shtickle Torah. Because after all, the Mishnah says, Yechayev all the time for the Ramazik, tells the Shadjah six sugyas that you're not. So Taitis developed the aside that two of those sugyas, even though the guy was a Shomer Sachar, and he's reached the point of Chiyav Shmir for Shomer Sachar, but he still falls short for other Ramazik. So it must be that just because Yechayev Shomer Sachar doesn't translate to mean you're not a Ramazik. So Taitis is stuck at number 7%. But they have other Gemaras about Nafal, Ruch, and Mitzuya that seem to indicate once you've reached the point of being Chayav Shomer Sachar, you automatically call it out of a Mazik. You've reached the level of Pshia. So Tosfos says, well, what's the difference? What's the difference between the Tavach Uman and the Mavich Chavos on the one hand, and the Ruch, and Mitzuya on the other hand? So Tosfos came up with this almost arbitrary distinction. Even within the world of Shomer Sachar, there are differences. Now Tosfos supported that difference based on the Gemara Hashoel that says that Aved is Taka more Pshia than Geneva. But when you learn Hashoel, when you learn Bav Metzia, you walk away with the assumption, who cares? Mech Pasli, whether one's more Pshia, less Pshia, Shomachirim is Potter in both, Shomachirim is Chayv in both. So Tosfos took a Sugin Bav Metzia, that doesn't really make any difference to Bav Metzia, put it in the back burner, and now, when it shows up in Bava Kama, that's the Keveya, that's the line of demarcation. This is quite a Tosfos. This is a real, real, real eye-opener Tosfos. One can truly, completely understand why some Rishonim didn't want to go down this route. Namely, who? The Ramban said, this is just Sister Torah. You might be splitting hairs. There are Rishonim who met Tosfos halfway, met the Ramban halfway. It almost sounded like we said yesterday. Remember yesterday we said, if you're a Mazik, the owner's Gomor, but now it's not the Gomor. That I could buy into. If you're a half-baked Ones, that's going to be Chayav. There is a middle ground in Rishonim, but the two extreme views in Rishonim are Tosfos and the Ramban. Tosfos' view is that not all Ones are Chayav, not all Ones are Potter, and Shomer Sachar itself is not even the Keveya. You have to further break down the degree of Ones and Pshia in Shomer Sachar to come up with the right formula. And according to the Ramban, the whole thing is not true. Adam will the Olam, Akol Mikol Kol, unless he's Mufkazan from a Shem Mazik. How do you Mafkir the Shem Mazik? Multiple ways, to Rishus, to Pshias Anizak, etc., all the things we spoke about now. So two very, very different approaches in this second. So I want to share with you a Shaila Maisa. I wasn't asked to pass the Shaila, I was just told about the Shaila. And how would some of this play out in the Halacha? So you're in a Chasana, in the middle of the heat of the dancing, the guy's glasses fall off on the floor. And the next guy, Mazel Tov, smashes the glasses, and now the Bala glasses turns around to the other dancers, I'm taking you to a dinter for breaking my glasses. What do you think about that? How would you pass it on that channel? Let's think it through. So according to the Sheet of Tosfos, that Adam or the Olam is not an absolute. On his gomer zicha potter, even a little bit less than on his gomer is a little bit potter. The guy who's dancing and had no idea, when you're dancing and dance floor, you're not mechuyev was banim bedrachim, like think about it. You're not mechuyev to look down and to make sure you're not stepping on somebody's glasses. So I would say that according to Tosfos, it's a no-brainer. The guy who smashed the glasses can hide behind the torah on his gomer, even less than on his gomer, or maybe mamash on his gomer, and he's totally potter, right? Everyone's masking? Right? Think that's, no, you don't think that, why?
Because he generally has to also avoid stepping out of the
Okay, interesting. I would say it may depend whether you're a boy or a girl. The girls dancing, the way they tell me, is that the high heels could be mamash, or the muad mamash to kill. But for us guys, you know, even though the yeshivish guys are something a little bit bigger, you know, you come down hard on somebody's foot, you know, it could be a little painful. But I'm going to do a show of hands here, okay? Who here looks on the floor when they're dancing in a chasana? You don't even look at the floor. Well, you're a Peshaya. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to make sure that you're doing the step properly.
Oh, Tazor, because you don't want to get caught. You don't want to get caught in that with the guy. You know, over there, this guy's, you know, Hashem Melech, and you're on the foot of your Yimolch. It doesn't look right. Okay. Yeah. And that's going to be the first and the second dance. First dance is just shuffling anyway.
As an older person, I'm nervous about someone stopping me. I'm snapping on my feet.
You try to avoid the major circles. Yeah. Okay. Now we don't want to date you, Dr. Berman, but I think these guys are not as concerned as you are. You and I maybe should be. Okay. So, but again, so that's one ha'ara. So, unless we argue that the guy's mechuyev to look down the floor, I don't know. Maybe we can call it an onus on his gomer or a quasi on his gomer. Is there Pshias HaNizek here? Who here votes for Pshias HaNizek? Why?
Should have been wearing one of them.
Oh, somebody said that to me when I told the Shai. He said, it's his fault his glasses weren't on tight enough. It'll be a new chumra at weddings now when they give you out your ear things to save your hearing, not to save your visual. Everyone's been walking around like football players, you know, you've got helmets and chasanas. So, I don't know. I'd be very weary to apply the rule pshias HaNizek. I think it's minhag she'olam as you come to a wedding and you keep your glasses on and you don't have to assume they're going to get smashed. I don't know. So lefi ani is da'iti, this shaila should boil down to machlokes Tosfos and Rabban. That according to Tosfos, you should be potter. The guy who smashed the glass should be potter because he's a mazik da'ines and his gomer, quasi and his gomer, whatever the standards are. Whereas according to the Rabban, if there's no in the absence of pshias HaNizek, we would have to say the fellow is going to be chayav. That's what lefi ani is da'iti, I would say. How do we pass in a loch machlokes Tosfos and Rabban? So either you could take the attitude we don't know what the din is, and we would say it's a safek. And we say it's a safek, that would bode well for who? For the step guy, right? Both not so well for the glasses guy, right? Because we would say motzach levarai, and you don't have to pay. Of course, if that would be the psach, motzach levarai, that would open up the possibility for what magic word we spoke about the other day, tfisa. That would open up the whole world. If you have a suffix in dinei mamonos, and somebody bathed in paskis the motzach levarai, and the other fellow goes ahead and says, "Chuck the bathed in, I'm going to take the law into my own hands," and he grabs it. That's called the tfisa. With tfisa working out, who was with us in Babasiya? Davav. I remember in those days, I think we spent more time on that sugya than any other sugya in the history of all the years, even more than Dvar Shmuchsav, because that in a couple of sugyas, Babasiya Davav. So tfisa nachshav a safek was the machloek is the Rambam and the other Rishonim, and tfisa by speaking the Dina and the Shach and Tachva Kain, bringing back any memories, Tachva Kain, etc. A long, 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 long sugya. Not for now. So it would get complicated. It would get really, really complicated. Could we throw another thing, almost a monkey wrench, into that sugya? Another reason possibly to be potter. Can you think of another idea? Why maybe the guy who broke the glass is potter? Isaac mitzvah. The mitzvah is potter in a mitzvah, not potter in a mezikin. Potter. So there's a sugya in the end of Maseches Sukkah that talks about on Hoshana Rabbah, what used to happen was, it was the last day of the esregim, not using your esregim afterwards, and the little kid used to grab their esregim, one right, they would chit finish the esregim, the kids would run around and grabbing esregim. Now in Ashul, we auction off the rabbi's esreg on Leil Simchas Torah, and believe it or not, it brings in hundreds of dollars into the shul. Not Chassidus guy, but there are one or two guys in Ashul who somehow think that this is like Kedish Kedoshim, and they will pay hundreds of dollars to have my esreg. Yes, please. They make it into esreg. I don't give them a shush to make it into esreg vodka. I only tell them they can make it into esreg jelly, but at that point, once they bought it, it's hard for me to make it tonight what they could use it for. So, but they do make it into something. Okay. They could be in for disappointment in Shemitah year. It's Kedushas Shvi'as, and it's not going to be so simple to do that. But not for now. Fun. But in the olden days, kids would run around and grab a esregim and shut, finished. So Taisa, how can you do that? So this is Gazela. It's still my esreg. Who gave the kids the right to grab the esregim? So Taisa's right. Mistam and Mishum Simchas Yantif. There was almost like a built-in understanding. I'm coming to Shul Hashana Rabbah. The last day, I don't need the esreg anymore. It's understood already. Everyone knows. You walk to Shul Hashana Rabbah, your kid's going to steal your esreg. That's okay. It's al das kein, and nobody really cares. Mishum Simchas Yantif. That's what Taisa's right. So now Taisa extrapolates from there to a very, very famous Taisa. Anyone know? Anyone know the case that Taisa says? Taisa goes on to say, Mikan, based on this, we have a minhag of Taisus that a chasidus, the bachrim come in, catch this. What was the shtick in the days of the Rishonim? Yeah, they used to go along with dueling, dueling on the horses. They would come riding into the chasidus halls on horses, like the knights in shining armor. Yeah, King Arthur, the Rishonim, would dress up, the Tamir Yeshiva would dress up as knights with the horses. It just shows one thing. You know, it's interesting that if you look, what do people dress up with on Purim? People dress up on the things that are so beyond the imagination, things you would never ever, it's your one time a year on Purim to express what the inner, deeper recess of your soul that you know you'll never ever be able to come. So in the days of the Rishonim, how do they dress up? You dress up like a knight. A Jew would never be a knight. A Jew, the knights in shining armor, you know, when in the Goyish culture, so they were like the heroes. you know, Sir Lancelot, you know, King Arthur, the round table. They were, you know, the chivalry, and they were the ones who were opening the doors for the women. Yeah, who were they? Who were the Heilige Knights in our Shining Realm? Who were they? They were the Crusaders. They were the Reitzchim. They were the Ganovim. They were the ones who decimated Jewish communities. Those were the Heilige Knights in Shining Realm. So when the Jews would get dressed up with the Leitzanus, so that's what they used to do on Chassidus. They would get dressed up like the knights, and they would start jousting and dueling. And every once in a while, you know, you imagine a couple of Balei Taisus, you know, some of the younger Balei Taisus, they were better at riding Taisus than they were at dueling, and they would mess up sometimes. And Taisus is right; they would sometimes knock the other guy off the horse. Sometimes they would cut through his shirt, and they would cause havoc. They would cause damage to one another. So Taisus is right, Yepoter. Why Yepoter? Because it's understood that when you come to Chasana and you're participating in the revelry of Chasana, it's understood that you're being moichel on any damage that's going to happen. And Taisus says, the same way it's understood you come to Shul on Shana Rabbit, Yadua, that you're being Meichel, someone's going to steal your Esrog, so too, if you get up on that horse and you're fighting with the other guy, so it's understood that somebody may get hurt, play your own risk, you can't turn around now and turn and sue the guy afterwards in days and days with another Mamazik. In the stomach, if the guy is Ma'al, if this is a good opportunity to take care of the guy who I don't like, maybe that would be different. But close mind, everything is, you know, Derech Sheikh, Derech Chak, Derech just having a good time, so Taisus is right, you can't take the guy to a dinner. You know, dueling, you know, in our mind, we think dueling is just a far out. In America, it was still legal until the 1800s. There was still, who got killed in a duel? Hamilton. He could have been the president. He was one of the major players in America. He was killed in a duel. Not with knives. Other kinds of duels. So in the ancient world, not all that ancient, that was a normal mode of entertainment. So, I'll call upon him, Taisus writes, that it's understood Mechila. So the Ramah, anyone know what area of Halacha the Ramah quotes this? Enuchas Purim. Well, the very end of Enuchas Purim quotes that if somebody is Mazik Chaveiro on Purim, Derech Tzchoik, because he just did a little bit what he shouldn't be doing, and he ended up banging into somebody, smashing them, punching somebody. So the Ramah writes, as long as it wasn't Mamish B'Kavod, if a guy's taking the opportunity of Purim to settle scores from last Purim, that's going to help responsible for. Everything is done there, Shchaik, so it's understood. You come to a Purim Suri, you come to the Purim Chagig, it's understood that some of these things, people sometimes get hurt, and there are more quotes that ties in Sukkot, which is again building on that Sugya Masechet. So the Chayr one can argue, and the same is true by regular Chasna by us. We've reached a point, we've advanced, we don't have people on the horses dueling anymore, but a guy comes to dance at a chassidah, it's built in. Everyone sees a bunch of big yeshiva guys stamping their feet. So if you don't want to get hurt, so go with Dr. Berman. Go with it. Stand on the corner like I do in this class. You know, and make believe that my wife says it's not nice that I walk out the middle to be Mavisedra. So at least make believe that you'd be Mavisedra and stand on the corner in the class. But if you want to get, you know, with the big league, so you go in and you. I remember we talked about this in shul a couple of years ago. I forgot what the case was. There was some case in baseball, I forgot what the case was, where a guy slid into second base to break up the double play, and who got, someone got really, I forgot what happened. Who the runner got? Yeah, and who got, the shortstop flipped over. Yeah, something, some crazy thing. So we gave a whole shiur and shul about that, about whether the guy was breaking up double play, is chayav or not. I don't know. Understood. Playing baseball, yeah.
So this happened when I was in Shana Alf and Yeshiva, and someone was, you know, very convinced or whatever, and he ended up breaking a window in Chadar Rochel.
On Purim.
During the night student. So during the night dancing.
Night dancing is no mitzvah to be in Samecha night.
Of course.
Yeah. What the Yeshiva Paskin?
The Yeshiva Paskin is not fine today.
Based on this?
Based on this.
Right. It's Ramah. It's Ramah.
We popped him on the phone.
I think the Ramah said it. Pretty wild. Okay. Always fun. Okay, everybody say so again. Yeah.
It could also be an Afamina and Reba, because you could argue that if he's doing this for Zanita, he's doing it for someone else.
Oh, so this is tricky, right? Because if he would have broke the Chasim's leg, so then yeah, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I have to think about that one. Okay, anyway, it's a humorous, the Shaila, but really, Mama Shaila, Maitre Shaila, Kachai. Okay, good. Okay, but any last questions about this sugya? Which is a little bit of Divrei Chizik, which is obviously, it's not Thursday, but it's in our culture, it's Thursday today, so we'll just turn this off a little bit.